This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us, for open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. The land of the work of Triple H.
Rewind to SmackDown. 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 Rewind to SmackDown.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Rewind to SmackDown. It is John Pollock and Wei Ting. Coming off the slowest episode of professional wrestling I have watched in a long time. This is not a three-hour program. This is not a three-hour formatted show. This wasn't even 2 hours stretched out to three. This was like a poor two-hour show stretched into three. Mm. And if this is the idea of, well, we're just going to take our current roster and we're just going to expand everything. Everything's just longer. And we're going to have a 17-minute main event and a 17-minute four-way. And we're just going to put all this stuff and just make it longer. We're just going to make everything longer. I'm sorry. This is going to be a rough 6 months. Okay? You're going to hear a lot of complaints from me because there was a point I literally thought that, is this not going to be 3 hours tonight? Because at 9 o'clock, we had gone through half of the advertised matches. We had done the two title matches. I knew they would make this Cody tag, but I was like, there's no way they have enough for 2 hours. There's just nothing. And somehow they got there. They got there by the end. But my God, I don't know if you and I were the only people who made it from start to finish. That's all I'm going to say. Did I have a misread of this? I don't think I did.
I watched a lot of wrestling in the past 7 days, starting from, last Friday to Wrestle Kingdom on Saturday to Wrestle Dynasty on Sunday. We had that 3 hour Raw, which, for maybe all its faults, certainly had a lot of fanfare attached to it. A lot of well-built big names, big matches. I would say a very good edition of Dynamite on Wednesday. I watched 4 Flair and Steamboat matches. All right. And then I was presented with this 3 hours of nothing, this was, I think it was very clear where the effort was put in from the WWE this week. And this was pretty much like, oh shit, I forgot that this assignment was due. Let's just quickly scrap together, what I have in about an hour. And they presented us with this particular show. It was just not a good 3 hour show. And even at 2 hours, I think it would have been a tough one.
I think this would have been a dull 2 hours in this format. It was funny because we always make this joke, but the storyline of this show is that Nick Aldis booked a 2 hour show and had to fill the last hour with this.
I don't even think he booked a 2 hour show.
It barely fit the two, but you got the whole third hour was the impromptu women's four-way and the impromptu tag that had just this whole hour was empty in storyline.
Yeah, it's more of a criticism of, I think, how lazy the writing was on this particular show. And I don't think I was this negative on last week's show. In fact, I almost felt like the 3 hours was a welcome change for last week's show, because I thought a lot of the wrestling benefited from it, because it allowed them, you know, we had the Stratton cash in. It felt like they were making a real effort for last week to at least feel special, to battle the drag of the 3 hours. This week, I felt none of that effort. It was just like relying on the constant trope of like, hey, like, let's argue all in the ring. And then Nick Aldis comes out and makes the match, the worst usage that I think you can use for a GM role.
Well, we are going to get into this SmackDown review. I don't know how much time we will be spending on the show.
Yeah, and again, everybody, welcome to all of you guys listening for the free feed. You have quite the great edition of Rewind to SmackDown coming up just for you guys. Just for people who aren't aware about our upcoming changes, starting on Wednesday, we changed to our new format where we are doing reviews now for the free feed, but we are doing full editions of the show, including news of the day and feedback. On Fridays, we're actually taking calls, but those will all be segments exclusive for the Post Wrestling Cafe that will be taking place after our show review, which I think will finish in like 15 minutes.
Well, that's fine by me, because tonight we were at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon. Last number from WrestleTix, 9,221. They were advertising on the broadcast over 10,000, and we get Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett, with Joe Tessitore referring to the fact that, I guess, the transfer window applies to announcers.
Yes. Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah. They're fine. Like, you know, I guess they stay on USA. At this point, they are considered the B team, you know, because it's very,
they're not the third wheel on NXT. So they're
not the C
team.
They
turned out
least,
okay. They didn't get the short end of the stick of these announcer breakups. Yeah.
If there was any question about what the B show was, in the catalog, this was very clear tonight.
It honestly had that feel, and that even goes beside the quality of this show, but just, I mean, whatever you want to say, and there's a lot of opinions about Monday's show from a production presentation standpoint, like, it was incredible. And it's like even WWE's own product. I think it's like you see SmackDown and it just feels like the inferior show when you have all the bells and whistles. Now, that's pronounced this week of all weeks, but I mean, it is very clear for the time being, and this is probably going to be perception wise that, like, Raw is going to be your big show. It's not like this even footing when SmackDown was on Fox, and well, you certainly felt that tonight. We will see how this adjusts. Maybe the transfer window will even things out.
SmackDown has occasionally suffered from this already, like when, you know, especially like the weeks when Roman wasn't around and you only had a Cody Rhodes to rely on. It just felt especially the case this week where, man, it's one thing to have Cody. Sure, it's great. But like beyond Cody, this mid-card was so dragging, you know?
Where's Roman coming back for that ceremony? It's Raw in Atlanta. You know, I think, like, that's where you're going to put a lot of your big stuff. And it's, yeah, you have Cody, and then it'll be, you know, you'll have your Zanes, you'll have your Usos and such. But that's kind of what you've stacked this show up with for the time being, until there's any kind of changes. Like, this show would greatly benefit, I think, from just, let's just lodge this window open permanently, put a big solid piece of wood underneath the window and keep it open year round. So they recap Raw, and in the ring is Paul Heyman, who proclaims there is now one undisputed tribal chief, and he wants to share what Roman's going to do next with one man. And he brings out Cody Rhodes, and Heyman says how Rhodes has earned Roman's respect. He's a credit to WWE. And he was told by Reigns to tell Cody straight to his face, which I found hilarious, tell him straight to his face with my proxy, that now that he has Deulofala back, he is coming for the title. And Roman is going to enter the Royal Rumble and face Cody again for the third year in a row at WrestleMania. And Cody does not have a chance to answer, because then Kevin Owens appears in the crowd, livid that Cody shook hands with The Rock on Monday night, now Paul Heyman. And it's Owens stating, we could have been done with Roman. Instead, you helped him rebuild. And now, as his sign of gratitude, he's coming for your belt. I mean, fine logic here from Kevin Owens. I was like, this is a... So, as Cody mentioned, it's on site, whether it was Kevin Owens or someone that looked like him. And Cody proceeded to charge into the stands. They had a big brawl, and that is how our segment opened here, as they are still 3 weeks away from this ladder match between the two. And how many brawls they can have over the next 3 weeks.
I thought the show started off well. I enjoyed the segment. You know, it was a good follow-up to what happened on Monday. Roman has completed his one goal of obtaining the Ulafala. Now he tells us his new goal, which is to regain his championship. Makes perfect sense. I think having both Cena and Roman already announced for the Rumble is already enough to make it feel special. You know, especially since for Roman, he's been champion for so long, he hasn't entered one of these in quite a while. So feels like a big deal already. I thought in having Roman announce for the Rumble, they found a good way to add fuel to Cody versus KO as well by having KO do the I told you so. And Cody, like, you know, with a bit of more of a prolonged stare down for Jacob, which of course will lead us to our main event tonight.
Yeah, Heyman was left in the ring, so Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga show up. No Solo Sikoa on the show after the tribal combat on Monday. And he is saved by Jimmy Uso, who runs out, and he's using a chair but gets cut off by Fatu, and they are about to shatter Jimmy's neck with the chair wrapped around it in the corner. He takes Jacob Fatu takes out a referee, producer, Kenny Dykstra takes a kick here, and Cody returns, saving Jimmy, and they have a stare down here between Jacob Fatu and Cody to end this segment. This by process of elimination, we knew we were going to get this tag match tonight, but we were going to wait a solid hour before they would inform us. We had to have two setup angles to get to this main event. Yeah. Welcome to the 3 hour format.
Could be them also teasing a potential one-on-one match between these two as well, which I think, you know, if we get deeper bloodline Cody business coming off of this, I think a Cody versus Jacob match feels good enough for like at least a, you know, certainly a main TV main event, but maybe even a Saturday night's main event type of thing.
I think Jacob Fatu has done one of these segments with like eight guys that he has programmed matches for down the road, from Cody to Roman to Bron Breakker to like that. You can just go down the list. He has kind of he's set up quite the year for himself. Backstage, the Bloodline are kicked out of the building with LA Knight tossing Jacob Fatu out. Would that come back to bite LA Knight? We will find out. Chelsea Green is accompanied by her Secret Service agent, Piper Niven. This is her role now.
I think it's great. I think it's a great way to fit Piper into this whole U.S. champion thing.
And she is defending against Meechan. Early on, there's a tarantula by Meechan, and then Meechan is sent into the barricade, and Meechan, once again, with the long back attack, followed by a cannonball.
You think Joe Tessitore, like a year ago, thought he'd be calling a long back attack?
Yeah, he didn't call it as excited as Michael Cole did last week, but he tried. He tried his best. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got multiple twerking on this show between Meechan and Naomi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be their Royal Rumble showdown. Green misses a missile dropkick off the top, and then Meechan hits PKs to both women and a cannonball on Niven. But then when Meechan goes for the high cross, Green reverses on top, yanks on the trunks, and gets the pin in 8:42. And then Niven is holding Green at bay from the potential attack on the United States champion as she is ushered to the back by Piper Niven. Niven was rather comical here in this role. This could It's something for Piper Niven. These two have a.
Tell me what you truly think. What are you trying to?
I'd say I'm not gonna sit here and say, my God, this is brilliant. But it's fine. She needs something, and this is I like the Chelsea Green U.S. title, you know, championship gimmick she's given herself. Like, why not?
Yeah, it sounds like you're ecstatic about
I'm pointing this out. It's like she's a Secret Service agent.
Let me try to encompass what you're trying to say, okay? It is entertaining for what it is, right?
Sure.
But it could be more. And that's like when they announce these mid-card championships for the women, seeing what Levesque has done with both the U.S. and the IC championships, especially under Gunther, I had much higher hopes for what the secondary title would be, and I was expecting more than what is essentially a mid-card comedy championship. This is more akin to the way that, you know, Vince would have booked his IC champions, like having Santino with it with like a fun gimmick or something like that.
But this is also playing to the strength of Chelsea Green. I don't know I don't know if it would really fuel this character to make her all of a sudden like a serious character. It's not really playing to her strengths.
I wouldn't have it on Chelsea.
Well, that's a separate argument. As if yeah. you, I'm sure they probably thought of this whole U.S. This President of the United States character, and that was a catalyst for her being this champion. No, like whichever one preceded the other. This is what it is.
I'm perfectly fine if like Chelsea was maybe a champion like down the road, but I think you want to set a tone for your first champion, right? And I don't know if the tone should necessarily be like, hey, this is sort of like the mid-card championship. Like, is this run going to be in service for somebody who you could eventually see as a world champion? Can this version of Chelsea Green be a future world champion?
To be the women's champion? I don't discount it.
She would have to be more serious, and maybe there's still some potential for it, but I certainly didn't see that in this particular match. This was booked like any other Chelsea Green match. She had to cheat to win, which again is fine, is entertaining, but I just felt like I feel like these championships could be more than that.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Well, with SmackDown expanded, we now have... We get to see the whole tag division in action tonight because the Motor City Machine Guns are complaining to Aldis about last week's actions by Pretty Deadly and Los Garza. Theory and Waller walk in, and they tease that they're going to move to Raw to work for a better GM. Be like, I think this is the week for Adam Pearce to scoop some SmackDown talent. I think, like, wouldn't that be the appealing show if you're given the opportunity? So Nick Aldis makes not one but two tag matches for tonight. We're going to see all of these teams in action, beginning with Los Garza and Pretty Deadly. And Berto is taken over the top with this like neckbreaker maneuver. And then Berto makes a tag. Angel had a nice comeback here on Kit Wilson. Wilson is screaming for DIY to come help them. And he takes a super kick. And then as Prince climbs to the top, Santos Escobar behind the ref's back knocks him off balance, crotching him, and Los Garza have a finisher, the NTY, and they pin him in 8 minutes and 56 seconds, and Los Garza are victorious, and they explain this is not a tournament, but after tonight, Way, the two winners are meeting each other next week to determine who is in line for a tank title shot.
So the fuck is it not a tournament?
It's not a tournament, Way. It's just how the matches are being booked, okay?
So what does that mean? Like, even if like whoever wins next week isn't necessarily going to get a number one contender shot? Is that what they're trying to say?
Well, it was not established that this is a number one contender's stipulation, but it's to prove who is going to step up to the front of the line.
How stupid does that sound? Like, again, like it's nonsensical, you know? And on top of that, you're talking about teams that nobody could really care about to begin with. Like, they've given very little character development to Los Garzas. They're just the tag team in Legado. And it's really hard to buy that they could actually, you know, be in line for a championship run. But maybe they'll change it with the match next week.
You don't think we're going to get the showdown of DIY with NTY?
Yeah, I don't know. But that finish looked really cool, though.
Yeah, it was Hey, they got a win on TV.
MTY, John Clanchester says, as in Monterey,
okay,
Mexico.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
All right. Saturday night's main event promo featuring our pitchman from Real American Beer. And Joe Tessitore plugs that Saturday night's main event is in 2 weeks, Royal Rumble is in 3 weeks, and WrestleMania is in 99 days, which after this broadcast, it was down to about 40 days from now. Shinsuke Nakamura against LA Knight for the U.S. Championship. Joe Tessitore called Raw a record-breaking evening and only plugged the social media stats. It was very funny that they never once touted the global viewership number that the press release cited that went out on Thursday. And I really think they just don't think it's that impressive of a number if everyone's going to compare it to the NFL or Tyson and Paul for whatever. I can't get into their head, but that was the press release that went out on Thursday. And on this show, like usually when WWE puts out a press release of stats, man, do they just plaster it on these shows. And that was not the case, but they were talking a lot about Netflix, just not the numbers. Knight then sends Nakamura to the floor with a baseball slide drop kick. And I kid you not, after Wednesday and our discovery of the solid oak AEW desk, Joe Tessitore notes that their upgraded desk is compared to a Cadillac Escalade in size and scope. So we have the most reinforced desks of this WWE and AEW era at the moment. We have solid oak on Wednesdays and Saturdays and a Cadillac Escalade. Don't tell me how that is somehow the equivalent of this desk, but maybe it's got wheels underneath it that we're not aware of.
I believe it has like LEDs on it now. Is that the case?
Yes.
It's got lights on it. I'm sure it'll have logos on it eventually, you know, of some sort.
So we go to the commercial, come back. Knight is on offense, leads to him leaping to the top for a superplex, and then introduces us to an inverted Boston Crab here. And
the Billy Goat's Curse.
The Billy Goat's Curse, yes. And the Kinshasa, BFT are avoided. Spinning elbow to Knight, and then he lands the Kinshasa, but Knight then manages to get the foot on the rope, and Nakamura runs his knee into an exposed turnbuckle, missing Knight. The BFT is hit. He's got the match won when Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu attack LA Knight after 14 minutes and 6 seconds as Joe Tessitore. Why? Oh, why? In the midst of such a magnificent championship match. Why? Oh, why?
They just needed an out, man. This is like, I believe this is the same finish as like, hasn't he been saved twice now by the Bloodline? Anyway, they're continuing this story between LA Knight with the Bloodline. So, just expect Knight to, you know, get his revenge at some point. And the match itself, I kind of found mostly generic and pretty uninteresting. These two, they're fine, but they're just like, Nakamura included, are very much just like WWE style wrestlers, not really offering that much in terms of creativity or surprise. I like the Kinshasa hitting the exposed turnbuckle, but everything else I felt was just a very average match.
Yeah, I didn't think the audience was all that into it. I just didn't think like their styles did not mesh for 14 minutes. I will say that. Fatu then hits Knight with a hip attack and the springboard moonsault. Cody and Jimmy run out and they hit super kicks. Cody asks Aldis, don't send them home. We want a match tonight. And Nick Aldis, who's got nothing for his main event, says, sure, you guys got 13 minutes for the main event. And that is set up for a long time after this segment. I could not believe how early this was and how much more time there still was. Motor City Machine Guns against A-Town Down Under was next. The Machine Guns send both of them out of the ring. And after the A-Town, the rolling flatliner is delivered to Shelley. They go to break. A-Town Down is in control, builds up to a tag to Sabin, and he hits the missile dropkick into the flatliner by Waller. And they promote, as they did multiple times throughout the night, that CW is replaying New Year's Evil on Saturday night at 8 Eastern. So if you want to relive the state of Dwayne Johnson's WWE address. It was quite something. Did you see the uncensored version?
The uncensored version? No.
No.
What was so special about it?
He dropped about like 8 F-bombs in this promo on Tuesday.
Right. Okay. Well, I heard them bleeped out. So
yeah,
I'd assume. No, yeah. Yeah. Aren't they doing this? Like, I mean, okay, because it was an incredibly successful show, but didn't it also get preempted in certain
markets? It didn't air in LA. But it's right. Yeah, it is airing though on CW proper itself. Mm. So we will have NXT versus Collision on Saturday night. Theory drives an elbow into Sabin. They double team him. All four are down. And then after a double team to Waller, Sabin hits a seated drop kick, disposing of Waller, and they double team Theory, skull and bones, winning in 12 minutes and 6 seconds. This was a good match, but I feel like this crowd was suddenly realizing, my God, it's like 9:15.
Yeah, I too found this to be a pretty uninteresting match, and I don't know if it was just maybe the lack of atmosphere, but like at one point this crowd started chanting, "This is awesome," and I'm like, "It is really?" Like, I mean that happens sometimes, but I feel like I'm usually in sync with like the crowd. No, not at all in this one. I was like, "What is this really that awesome?" I think I just have a certain lack of interest in like especially A Town Down as just like they're just not to be taken seriously at this point in the tag division. The Machine Guns, we've just seen them. Like we're expecting them at least you know to maybe challenge for the things championships again, but they've just. There's just no real interesting feud, you know? What is the feud in the tag division right now?
The non-tournament tournament.
It's the non-tournament tournament. It's also...
It's Apollo Crews stooging everyone off.
Yeah.
And DIY are cowards.
The Profits were attacked, and they were given false information by Pretty Deadly, which pointed the finger at the Garzas, so that's why the Garzas are mad at Pretty Deadly. And then the Profits just actually got injured, so they're out of here. And DIY are expecting Pretty Deadly were expecting the help. DIY did not get it. And here we are. This is kind of it. The state of
cinema,
the tag division.
Cinema. Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman wants that Emmy. This tag program's going to get them it. DIY are watching this and they walk into Pretty Deadly and they bring up, "Hey, I thought we had an agreement. You guys were going to have our back." Gargano explains, "There's a lot of heat on you guys. We couldn't come out there tonight." Ciampa is now playing like the loose cannon version here. Gargano says, "You guys will get your title match eventually," and says, "You've just got to trust us." And they walk off. Apollo walks in and says to Pretty Deadly, "If you're dumb enough to believe DIY, then you deserve everything that's coming to you."
Yeah, so that's just kind of Apollo Crews' role here. You know, like
character.
I wonder if they're building him for a wrestling role, or if he's just going to be the guy who walks up to every other feud backstage just to kind of make a comment, you know, like what is this? What are they building to?
Nothing. I don't know. He'll be in the musical when they finally pull that one off with Pretty Deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Nia Jax with Candice LeRae. Nia's going to go. She has some words for Tiffany Stratton, who is coming out for her championship celebration to be interviewed by Byron Saxton. Do you know that Tiffany has a catchphrase?
Is it Tiffy time?
It's Tiffy time. And now it has to be forced into every statement that she delivers. I mean, this was just painful. She says, "At 25, she's already beaten all of your favorites," and explains, "Nia did not bully me. I befriended her so she would trust me. Who's the stupid one now? I made her think I was a dumb blonde and I stole her prized possession. So put some respect on my name and tell me what time it is." She told us many times what time it was. So out comes Nia Jax. And I kid you not, her first words are, "You ungrateful little shit." She says, "I could kill you right now. I made you, but your time's up." And she demands Tiffany hand back the belt or else I will take it from you. So out came Bailey, who was convinced that Stratton really was that stupid, but it turns out Nia is stupid. And she laughs about this, "But you also helped Nia take the title away from me at SummerSlam, so I want the title." Naomi and Bel Air come out. Naomi says she had Nia beat last week, so I want to fight you. And Wade comes out. We will get all this coming out in a minute. But before that, we've got Tiffany Stratton and the four women in the ring. And Wade calls it, "Almost the entirety of the women's locker room is out here." All five of these women. This is our This wasn't quite their women's division, but what an observation.
And they were missing Meechan and Chelsea and Piper.
And Piper, the Secret Service agent. Mm. So with all four women arguing in the middle of the ring, Tiffany, like a ninja, climbs to the top turnbuckle and hits a moonsault, taking out all four. They could not look like larger morons here. As Nick Aldis comes out and makes an impromptu fatal four-way match to establish a number one contender, because we've got 55 minutes left of this show.
So our first time hearing Tiffany Stratton as a champion, and I guess this was her explaining the storyline that we've been put through over the past several months. She let Nia bully her so that she could get her guard down. Fine, but like I think hardly like.
Isn't the whole purpose of the Money in the Bank briefcase that you get to capitalize when their guard is down? Did it require all of this work? If she had nothing to do with Nia for the last 6 months and Nia was laid out, could she have not executed this to the exact same outcome? What trust did she need in Nia to cash in on her?
Obviously, she wasn't so confident about just a plain old cash in. She thought she needed to really kind of, you know, put the work in order to get that moment. I did think Stratton's promo was pretty weak, you know, especially the Tiffy puns. She has to drop those, and I'm sure she's getting those notes right now.
I think she's got a very good delivery. It was the verbiage here that I found to be. It just felt like first of all, like last week, that was a massive reaction they got. That video did insane online afterward. Like, this was the big thing on SmackDown last week. I think you do have something with Stratton here, but it just felt like they just forced this. Like, this felt like the old era of WWE, of just finding some little catchphrase.
Whole show felt like the old era.
Lot of it did. And this was a segment that they just need to drop. Like, the Tiffy time, it's fine. It's a clever line, but it doesn't have to be shoehorned into so many references in this 2 minutes that we had of her.
It's fine for your first few months in NXT. After that, I mean, it's fine even for your first few months on the main roster, but now as champion, now we have to be a lot more strict, I think, about like our expectations for how good of a promo she is. And like she's still very new. She deserves the spot because I think she's incredibly talented, yes, but now she really has to step up her game, and I think our expectations should match that. This was not a good enough promo, in my opinion, for a first champion, but you know, it's also like she just doesn't sound enough like a real person to me. But it's also the first week, so I hope she will improve quickly, the way, you know, people often do in these sort of situations.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, as myself and Wei Ting will be providing full shows containing news of the day, questions, and so much more, going live on those nights for patrons. Plus, we will have coverage of Wrestle Kingdom 19, Wrestle Dynasty, The People vs. GCW, TNA Genesis, a Rewind Away retrospective on the Ric Flair Ricky Steamboat feud of 1989, all of your regular shows, a Daredevil primer, and throughout the month of January, you get a free month if you sign up for an annual subscription. $6 a month at postwrestlingcafe.com. The four-way match got a lot of time here. Nia Jax stopped a double team vertical suplex and delivered her own vertical to Belair and Naomi, and these landings did not look smooth at all. It looked like she just dropped these two on their heads coming down. This did not look fun. We saw Nia with a running Liger bomb out of the corner onto Belair. Wade Barrett also mentions you don't get an automatic rematch anymore, but maybe Nia deserves one. They went to a commercial with a Tower of Doom spot with Bayley on Jax's shoulders, so she took the Samoan drop coming down. And then we went through all of these various attacks onto Nia with a split-legged moonsault, top rope elbow, and then the 450 by Belair, but there's constant saves. Candice LeRae runs down to try and help Nia by getting her some water as the match continues. And as they are all going down the stretch, everyone's trying to win. Barrett proclaims, quote, "Someone is going to win this match." Belair then lifts Bayley for the KOD, but LeRae pulls her by the braid, has a tug of war with her hair and Candice, and then innocent bystander Naomi is in the firing range. And Wei, this happens sometimes in the worst of times, where she won her braid in the tug of war, but smashed Naomi in the face with her braid. This was the most comical spot that I have seen in a Bianca Belair match with the utilization of this braid. So this takes out Naomi. If this is the impetus for these two to break up, this braid, this errant braid to the face.
Wonderful. I think it was only there to tease some tension. I mean, also to excuse the two of them not winning, you know.
Well, Jax pulls Belair out and then is tackled over the desk. Bayley is left alone, pinning Naomi with the rose plant. Bayley is your number one contender in 17 minutes and 16 seconds, and she will get the title match next week in San Diego.
As far as the match goes, I think I might have actually preferred this over any of the other matches on the show, including the main event. It actually felt like it had at least some stakes attached to it, and I actually really enjoyed the work of Bayley and Naomi in this one. It received a lot of time, as all the matches did on the show. And Nia, I think, again, like maybe for all the criticisms we still have, she's a very important person in matches like this because she's the only heel, and everybody had to work with her essentially throughout the entire match. And I thought they you know, creatively built to some moments that referenced existing or past relationships between all the women. So you had your little pairing between Bayley and Bianca Belair, Bayley and Naomi after their friendship. You even had slight moments of Belair and Naomi, you know, with the two tag champions facing off. And of course, that little friendly fire moment with the braid that you love, John, so much. So Belair and Naomi looks like they're going to just stay in the tag division for a while. Bayley versus Stratton is somewhat interesting because I think it probably indicates that Tiffany Stratton isn't strictly going to be a babyface champion, you know, at least not in the classic sense. I imagine for the feud, she will just kind of freely revert back to sometimes heel, sometimes face.
Cody and Jimmy Uso were in the back, and Cody explained, when it comes to Roman, it's all good. I knew this was coming eventually. Carmelo Hayes walks up to Jimmy after Cody leaves and warns him that you could end up like Braun Strowman. And Jimmy asks, what's your catchphrase? Melo don't miss? Well, with all those bricks, you could build a house. And then Joe Tessitore teeing up the main event, quote, the tag match we didn't see coming. Finally. There was a nice promotional spot.
So this Carmelo Hayes stuff, where do you see this ending up with Hayes and Jimmy or... What do you think?
You think the two of them together? I see them being on opposite ends of something.
No. That's what I mean. Do you see Hayes' next program being?
I mean, they're teasing this stuff with Jimmy.
What did he do last week?
Last week they did. It was just a brief backstage segment, I believe, where they had.
I thought he had a thing going on with Strowman. Is that over?
Well, Strowman was off last week, and he was off this week. He had that flu issue.
He's
indisposed at the moment. I personally I think Hayes needs a big reset.
He's waiting for Trick. He's
biding his time. Then that's
hoping
fine.
Trick loses this.
Yeah. There was an American Red Cross spot. Profiling the fires in LA, which are just man, horrifying to watch. They're even Ariel Helwani was noting today, like the UFC is even having talks, like the Intuit Dome where Raw just was, they might have to move UFC next weekend to another location. It's possible that could happen. Byron Saxton congratulates Bayley, and this sets up the match for next week, which will also feature the Motor City Machine Guns against Los Garza in the non-tournament final, and the return of Solo Sikoa after a week off. Tama and Fatu are walking backstage. This might have been the literally best part of the show. It was Jacob Fatu's promo of the week, where he just screams into the camera, addressing Big Jim and the difference between your bloodline and ours. Your bloodline left you on the front line to deadline. And Cody, you got to wake your ass up because your nightmare is here.
Yeah, he's getting to speak a whole lot more, and he's sounding excellent. You know, he, on top of just being a very unique wrestler, he also has a very unique delivery promo that's just incredibly captivating, just like his wrestling. So they really just, he feels like a very
They've really got something. When they decide to really go all the way with him, like, there is a very high upside for Jacob Fatu. And they have protected him very well in terms of this introduction and kind of just he's on the back burner, but they are ready to heat him up at a moment's notice. And they've naturally done it, that he will be seen. Like, he has been protected, that he will be a big deal against any of these, like, your Roman match, or like all of these. So Cody and Jimmy against Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. We've got a break early on. They're beating on Jimmy. And I mean, we talked about on the Steamboat Flair show about the psychology Ricky Steamboat would have on selling, that you can never sell to the point that the audience stops believing in you, where it's just like you're dead. Jimmy was dead in this selling. It was just so long. Wade, at one point, he was describing the match, but it read my mind. Just end this. And they just beat on him and beat on him. And finally, Cody gets the tag and he is in. Cody hits a dive. Tama comes in and uses the Veleno, which was what this was called pre-WWE. In WWE, this is called, what a unique application of the DDT. Then Cody and Jimmy hit their version of Power and Glory with the Uso splash by Jimmy. And then a Cody cutter is hit onto Fatu. We get more dives. Kevin Owens comes out. So Cody just abandons Jimmy and goes after Kevin Owens on site. And they brawl to the back. And they emphasize how Jimmy's been left all alone here. But he manages to spear Tama, hits the Uso splash. But Jacob Fatu comes back to life, pulling him out. And then Fatu rams his head into, quote, this new metal table. And then an impaler DDT is followed by the double springboard moonsault. Jacob Fatu pins Jimmy Uso, and Cody and Owens would return, brawling by the production crates, and it ends with Cody tackling Kevin off the production crate through a pair of tables. What a night! SmackDown from Portland! It's like, oh, it's over already. Mm. Man.
Yeah, I just thought this
Dude,
was a
real this, nothing this was show. Just... A truly dull 3 hours that I could not imagine doing this every week. I'm hoping that this was just a realization of, okay, we need some changes. This is 3 hours. That requires a lot more than what we had material-wise for this show.
Yeah, it felt like one of those weeks where, like, it felt like a Saudi week where, like, maybe half the talents were flown away, you know, on another continent and just not available. But they flew Cody, you know, privately early so that he could be the lone big star on the show. But otherwise, this felt like they were operating with, like, a very depleted roster. I would even say a depleted roster of writers, because they had nothing. They had no good material for this particular show. In terms of, like, story advancement.
Roman's in the Royal Rumble and Bayley's getting a title shot.
In the Rumble, which was announced via Paul Heyman. So, yeah. I mean, that could have just basically been a tweet, okay? Bayley's challenging for Stratton's titles. Okay, fine. Like, that was somewhat significant. And then we have the Motor City Machine Guns and the Garzas advancing in a mini tournament that's not really a tournament. Those are your headlines for this week's edition of SmackDown.
I thought this was just, like, a really tough show to
3 hours
get through.
For that. Yeah. Not worthwhile. The action I didn't even think was that good. Our expectations just have to be higher now for these shows. You know, if you're going to take us, like, for this amount of time, you need to deliver quality that's worthwhile.
Listen, I've seen many opinions of the 3 hour formats, and listen, I understand there's a lot of talent on these rosters and people want to see everyone get more segments, more time and stuff. But listen, the viewer is the person that you are programming this for. It's like, I want a great show, and I'm not here just to watch everybody get their 10-minute match and their 10-minute segment every week. It's like, that's not how it works. Like,
it was actually advanced, okay, via their longer match on the show. I want to see new talents too, but I want to see new talents be built. I want to see new talents look impressive, and I want to see new talents feel like they're actually becoming stars. I don't think any of the added airtime contributed to any of that for anybody on this show.
So, Joe Tessitore gave us the countdown to the Royal Rumble. It's 142 days until June 1st. That'll be our countdown, okay?
142 days. That's what? Hold on a second.
until June 1st.
Oh, that, yeah, our real WrestleMania.
That's our WrestleMania, okay, June 1st.
When the show moves back to 2 hours, yeah.
That was SmackDown. I'm giving this a thumbs down show, I think, that, listen, I'm going to...
We don't even give thumbs anymore.
But I am giving thumbs down on this, okay? This I'm putting this on down. My list that I started this week that I'll abandon by April, but the first week of the year is going to be reflected in my year-end list.
My suggestion, save your 3 hours and instead... listen to all of John Pollock's podcast content from the day, including a very, very good breaking news podcast that he and Brandon Thurston did this afternoon. You could find that on your free feed as well.
They should have gone over this story on SmackDown. This could have been a segment. They should have broken this down, this SEC fine and WWE being reimbursed $1.3 million.
Yeah, they did not, surprisingly.
Nick Aldis didn't come out to address this. No.
No, they did not. But you and Brandon did and did a great job of it. So covering all facets of Vince McMahon's fine by the SEC and what it means for the bigger Janelle Grant story. Also, for all of our Post Wrestling Cafe patrons, you now have early access to the 2025 MMA Prediction Show with Ariel Helwani. How was this, John, for you?
We went nearly 2 hours. We talked a lot about Ariel's past year. We talked about last year's predictions. We made a new list for this year. A show that most people seem to enjoy each year, whether you're in or out of MMA. We go a lot. The term MMA prediction show, it's kind of outgrown just the MMA world. But
it's really an MMA and wrestling prediction show, at least, you know, in part now, because there are various, contributions with Uncrowned, which you actually spent a lot of time talking about, too, this year. So I really enjoyed it. I very, very much enjoyed the chat off the top.
Well, that is up there again. Early access for all Post Wrestling Cafe members. And we'll alert everybody that coming up this weekend, we are going to have a Collision Course Saturday night with John Cena and Kate from Montreal. And Sunday night, Karen Peterson with Bruce Lord covering New Japan's Battle in the Valley show. So those are your two cafe shows coming up this weekend. Another note, due to illness, W.H. Park was unable to do a show this Thursday, but him and Karen will be back next Thursday for Post Pro Res. So I know everyone wants WH's big Tokyo Dome take. So you got to wait an extra couple of days, but he was a little under the weather.
One last plug before we go over to the paywall to talk about today's news stories and take your calls. Our Flair and Steamboat retrospective look on Rewind Away, talking about the three matches that these two had in 1989, plus a house show match that they had in 1989. A lot of good feedback. Interest from Brandon Thurston, surprisingly, John. You know, if Brandon Thurston is interested, then I think we know we have a winning podcast here. So thank you, Jake, from the Windy City, for choosing it. I really enjoyed this particular look back. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
That's it. That's up there. Four matches from 1989, plus really going through, you know, WCW that year. The circumstances behind both Ricky Steamboat coming back at the beginning of the year and being gone by the summer. It's only a 6-month run he has, but it's probably, you know, the series of matches he's going to be most well remembered for as well. So all of that available, postwrestlingcafe.com. We're going to say goodbye to those on the free feed, and we're going to keep this show rolling. We're not going 3 hours, but we're definitely going a bit longer here on the cafe. This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.